Hello, everyone. It's Dave Dutton. Before we get into our regular portion of Turnbuckle Trash with Chris and Zane, we wanted to take time to recognize the deaths of three wrestlers over the last couple of weeks. AAA Wrestling has announced that La Parca died at the age of 54 after that terrible accident that occurred in the ring where he broke his neck. Now, this was not the La Parca of WCW fame. He performs as L.A. Park. Also passing away at the age of 71, according to PW Insider, was WCW wrestler and NWA wrestler Kendo Nakasaki. And then the biggest name that passes away was Rocky Johnson, the father of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and part of that huge wrestling family. Rocky the Soul Man Johnson was a tag team champion with Tony Atlas, also won several individual titles, including the Southern Heavyweight Championship, the first African-American to win that. And I'll have a story about that in the upcoming edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Before we get to the 10 bells, I thought it would be interesting to listen to Dwayne The Rock Johnson on That 70s Show, where he had the opportunity to portray his own father in that classic sitcom, That 70s Show. You'll also hear Ernie the Cat Ladd.
Mr. Johnson, you gave that team of midgets an ass whooping, sir.
Well, you pile drive a little guy, and the whole crowd turns on you. You know, when you're standing there wondering what they're booing about, you get bit on the kneecaps. Look at my knees. Midget bites.
I wonder if you'd mind giving my son an autograph.
No. No autographs.
Look, pal, I might be the only guy in here who's actually killed a man.
Give the kid an autograph, and then no more autographs.
Yeah, it's really nice, bringing your kid to a wrestling match. You know, I got a son, and one day, he's going to become the most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
So for La Parca, Kendo Nakasaki, and Rocky Johnson, the 10 bells.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and neighbors, moms and dads, puppy dogs of all ages, and of course, wrestling fans, except for those who are trolls on social media, it is time now for another edition of Turnbuckle Trash. And now join us by the cellular telephone, it is none other than Zane Peterson.
That's Zane O'Mac to you, Dave.
Okay, Zane O'Mac by cellular telephone.
Dave?
Yes, sir.
Where have you been?
Where have I been?
Yeah, I've been looking for you. I've just been sitting back waiting for a phone call, waiting for an invite to do another episode of Turnbuckle Trash, and you never call.
Yeah,
you never write. You never tweet.
I never.
You never Facebook me.
I never Facebook you. I never.
You never IM me.
Nope, not me, not at all. I've probably been in the hospital, to be honest with you, the way things have been going the last few weeks. But
No, Dave, tell everybody who's been the slacker lately.
The slacker, I guess since he's not with us right now, Chris. No, Zane, I know you have been very, very busy as of late, doing some very important
Dave,
things, by the way.
Dave, you know, this is a podcast on professional wrestling, not a political podcast, so we won't delve too much into it, but I have been spending a lot of time with volunteering for some political things that have been going on in Utah. And, boy, almost every night after work, organizing events, gathering signatures, making flyers. One of those things for the greater good, Dave, for the greater good.
I know you and I have been in contact a couple of times by, you know, messaging and texting each other. And I've told you how proud I am of you. And
I wanted
to tell you face-to-face or phone-to-phone how proud I am that you took the time to do this because you believe in what you're doing. And no matter if you agree with Zane on this measure in the state of Utah, and we won't go into it, or not, you got to admire somebody who stands up for what they believe in, and I admire you.
Thanks, Dave. But on to more important things. You know, politics sucks, Dave. Let's just say right now, doesn't matter what side you're on, left, right, center, middle, up, down, green, blue, it just plain out sucks.
Politics sucks.
What matters most in life at this point in time is professional wrestling.
Yes.
And Dave, I just gotta get something off my chest real quick. Utah is becoming a hotbed for professional wrestling.
Ain't it great?
Did you ever in your life think that Raw would come back to Utah?
It's been since the middle 80s that Raw was here?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, long, long time ago.
And you texted me the other day, and I had no idea, so I had to do a little digging on All Elite Wrestling is coming to Utah as well.
Yeah. Raw's going to be, the first Monday in February?
February, yeah.
Yeah, right after the Super Bowl, and it's the road to WrestleMania, and then All Elite is going to be March... Let me see here.
Yeah, I don't remember when it is either. Yeah. It's in March. I know that.
Yeah, I've got a calendar right next to me. March the 11th, my wife screams from the other room.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's going to be at the Maverick Center. The Raw is going to be at the Vivint Smart Home Arena, the home of the Jazz. And, there's a lot of Facebook chatter from the people from UCW Zero and from Devotion, which is local promotions in Salt Lake City, trying to get the fans in Salt Lake to come out and really support both of these programs because, man, we'd love to have some back. I mean, wouldn't that be great to get SmackDown here and have some more Raws and more All Elites and maybe even get people from ROH to come in. So
yeah, you know, and there's also a lot of fairly decent-sized, not very far-off promotions like FSW in Vegas, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Championship Wrestling from Arizona. I mean, even if there was people like that came to Utah, I would support those guys too.
Oh yeah, I would too. I think more likely with that, you're going to be able to maybe get a star from maybe from the NWA to come in. You know, maybe Devotion would work with them to bring in someone like a Eli Drake, which I would absolutely die.
Oh yeah, dude.
I am such a fan of Eli Drake. Or maybe getting somebody from ROH to come in. Like they've already had Cheeseburger, and I mean, he's been a pretty big ROH star. He's been in Japan. He's, I've got a thigh that weighs more than Cheeseburger, but he's a big star. I mean, in professional wrestling, he's a pretty big star.
Well, Brutal Bob Evans?
Yeah, Brutal Bob Evans, former ROH star, now teaching a lot and also doing some performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's like, you know, it's crazy how some of these guys like, that you never hear a lot of, like, Sin Bodhi when he was in the WWE as Kazarni.
Uh-huh.
You didn't hear a lot about him, but if you talk to anybody on the independent circuit or anybody that has even a little thread of knowledge in professional wrestling, they'll tell you that, like, a guy like that is, like, one of the best trainers and the best minds in professional wrestling. And most casual fans would go, who's that?
Right.
I don't have any idea who that is. And it's kind of cool, but kind of weird. Like that you'd be like, well, then how come he wasn't more famous than he is? Or, you know, maybe he is. I don't know. Tell me what you think.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, why is your favorite band not as big as the Beatles, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that it's sometimes it's timing. Sometimes it's just getting the break where you need to get the break. And sometimes a performer will say, well, I want to slow down and maybe do some other things. I mean, Joey Ryan, you know, Joey Ryan was approached by the WWE to go to NXT. And he decided not to go to NXT because he wanted to do his own thing. He thought he could make more money. And now he's performing in Impact and also doing his own independent gigging too. And so, and I know Chris is going to talk about an incident that occurred with Joey Ryan when he gets on with us, and we'll just kind of leave it at that. When you hear it, you'll be going, oh man. But anyway, that kind of thing. And then we missed one that's coming to Salt Lake City. Has been there once, coming back on the 25th, which we're recording this on the 19th. So coming up on the 25th, Vince Russo is coming to Salt Lake City to so Devotion.
Tell me your thoughts on, you know, Vince Russo is a name that sparks a lot of controversy.
Yes, it does.
How come people can't let that go?
Well, he was so, and I'm not putting all the blame on him, but he was there when WCW really fell. And there was a lot of bad blood between Vince and one Jimmy Cornette, and also to Eric Bischoff, and also Pritchard, Tom Pritchard. There's been a little bit of bad blood there. I was listening to a podcast with Vince Russo talking about some of the situations. Now, I, for one, I'm just going to come right out. So I'm not a huge fan of Vince Russo, but I'm starting to appreciate some of the things more as I delve into what happened, his side of the story, and other people's side of the story. Then you've got to make that decision. I'm not going to just go right out because I don't have it right in front of me. But there was a situation that was addressed by Tom Pritchard on a podcast that Vince Russo went back and on his podcast says, how could that happen? How could he have seen it when he even admits it was a private conversation? No one else was around when I think it involved The Rock. And then Pritchard, you know, said something about this, and Russo says, I never said that. I never, you know, it was, and he was quoting from his book exactly what he said. So there's always perspective. That, you know, that's a big word with me. I actually do a radio, what's called a bit, sometimes called Dave's Matter of Perspective. There's two sides to every story, and then you got to decide yourself which side you're going to believe. And I will tell you this. I don't know if I've told you this or not, but I received a telephone call after a couple of things about Vince Russo got onto our Facebook page, and I received a telephone call from a performer. And we both know this performer very well, but I will not mention his name because he asked me not to, okay? And we talked a little bit, and he told me that he had some reservations about Vince Russo coming to Devotion at that time. But he says he was kind, he was always, you know, talking everybody up, and he came up with a great idea for that night that was better than what they were going to do. And he told me the finish that they were going to do, but it was, when Vince, you know, came up with this idea right off the top of his head, it was a great finish for that particular story. So this has kind of not necessarily changed my mind 100%, but I'm starting to say, you know, let's not criticize Vince Russo so much, because there's always two sides to every story. And as I always say, it's all a matter of your perspective when it comes to a story you hear too.
Well, and you know, not only that, is like, you know, how long ago was it? How long has it been since the fall of WCW? I mean, 15 years?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, 15 years ago, I was 21. You know, and, oh, I just knew almost everything at 21.
Yeah.
And you know, a person can grow up a lot.
Yeah.
Even if it's 35 to 50.
Oh.
You know, you think differently at 50 than you do at 35.
Very well
said.
You
know, so somebody like Vince, maybe when he was younger in WCW, maybe he thinks back and goes, yeah, I was a lot younger then. I had different ideas. I've grown up a lot. I've talked to a lot of people in the business, you know, and maybe he's got a different knack for things now as he's been in the business for so long. You know, and like I said, certain people have, you know, think about guys that, I mean, this isn't meant to be offensive, like Hulk Hogan. You know, Hulk Hogan was a great person in wrestling. You know, he was so awesome and so over in every era that he was ever in. But when he tried to run TNA, it didn't work as well. I'm not going to say it was a failure,
yeah,
because I think that's rude. Because, and I'm not trying to talk smack on Hogan. I'm just saying that some people are better at running things behind the scenes than others.
Right.
And you, and especially Chris, I know Chris is very, very critical of the Hogan years in TNA.
Yeah, and I pretty much am too, but because I thought it became an old boys club, and that's,
yeah,
you know, that was my main complaint about when Hogan and Bischoff were there. It became an old boys club. I mean, the Nasty Boys showed up, and then you had all the ECW people. And it's good to a point when you do that. And I'm going to say this right now, as much as I love NWA Power, I'm wondering if they might be heading down that same way. Scott Steiner shows up the last 2 weeks, and nothing against Scott Steiner. I think he can still go, and I enjoyed the segment. But are they going to develop younger talent? As this, and I think they have already, and I that's why I haven't been too critical of what they're doing in that aspect, but I'm just a little bit concerned about that. But I'll say this about Vince Russo really quick. I don't think, and I know I read and seen things where he said that the situation with David Arquette was the right thing to do, and I don't think David Arquette should have ever been the champion. Should he have been part of the storyline? Yeah, but for him to be the champion, I my personal preference, Vince, if you hear this, it's nothing against you. Personal preference, I just didn't like it.
That kind of makes me think of a lot of stuff that I've been reading lately, too, because, I mean, you know, with being busy and stuff, I haven't had a lot of time to watch, but I tried to kind of stay up on things with reading. It seems like and you've posted on it a lot too, that like some AEW stuff, where, you know, speaking of these names like Scott Steiner and things like that, where you know, NWA is maybe trying to get a familiar name in there to draw attention to the product, and people, there's two sides too. On the AEW side, there's people saying, why don't they get some names in there, some people who are familiar, who we know. But then on the other side, they're like, well, why aren't, you know, no, we need to develop younger talent and get names for people, you know, let the younger talent build their own names. And so what do? You know, if you're Kate Dave, you're in charge of AEW effective tomorrow. What does Dave do?
I would fire half of the women's division. I wouldn't fire them. I would rethink the women's division first, because it has improved. At first, I didn't think it was very good at all, but it has improved. Chris Statlather, I think, is a new performer there. Very good. Very, very good.
Okay,
yeah.
But let's talk. Hold on one sec. I'm going to interrupt you. So, okay, women's division, right?
Uh-huh.
So what if, say, you bring in, like, Gail Kim, Taryn Terrell, Trish Stratus, or, you know, somebody with some name behind them, would that change your mind at all on the women's division?
You know, they're doing something similar to that with Brandi Rhodes, and she started this heel faction in AEW.
Yeah.
But was Brandi Rhodes a big enough name to do that?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
Now in NWA, they brought in Melina to start,
yeah,
a little, and that's a little bit bigger name as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And but that would be the first thing. I would maybe bring in a Gail Kim, and, you know, if she would still do that, you know, bring in a, you know, an older name to just jumpstart it. I think what happened with the women's division is they brought in these women who are pretty good, but people didn't know them. And then they have watch Rio's their champion. She's about 4 foot nothing and skinny as a rail. And nothing. I mean, she's fun to watch, but was she championship? Was it something to build a championship around? That's my opinion. I'm not going to question my opinion. Nobody else's but mine.
Well, you know, and also I think that another thing that's backfired on the women's division is, and again, this is an opinion, and if you disagree with it, I'm sorry. It's an opinion. Is people that don't have a place in the women's division, i.e., men that are pretending to be women.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm sorry, but there's a fraction of a percent of fans who are okay with that. I'll bet you if you lined up 100 AEW fans and said, hey, how do you feel about men pretending to be women in wrestling? I'll bet you 99 of those fans would say, I don't like it.
Yeah.
If you're going to take offense to that, I'm sorry, but that's my opinion.
I would say it'd be in a majority. Because of the societal changes that are going on right now, I'm not disagreeing with you by any means. I don't like it either. But where I get upset is when someone makes an opinion, like our friend Chris did on a Real Wrestling Facebook page, and he was lambasted by some people. Just horrible things were said about him, and he dropped that Facebook site because. You can't have a differing opinion. We've talked about this a lot on our podcast. Why can't people just disagree without all the name calling? And, you know, because Chris was saying, you know, I respect your opinion, sir. And he was being called every name in the book. So, whew, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I don't like it. But then again, I don't make that decision. If they've made that decision, they're going to live with it. That's fine. You know, I don't have
well,
to like
and,
it.
Well, and like you said, they have to live with the backlash of the decision if fans like it or if fans don't. I mean, I'm sorry, but if I'm a woman and I'm in the ring with somebody like that, you know, you better hope to high hell that they know what they're doing and they're good. They're a good performer and they're somebody worth being in the ring with, you know, and they're not going to hurt you or they're not going to cause you to get hurt or, you know, and I don't have any idea. I haven't watched the women's division enough to make that decision. I'm just commenting that whether you're a man or a woman or a man pretending to be a woman, if you're not good at what you do, you don't belong there.
Yeah. And that, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the person we're talking about, to be honest with you, but performing in the ring, not bad. But knowing the difference, in the physical makeup of the bodies, it worries me that somebody could get hurt. And I mean, but once again, I will defer to AEW because they're the ones that have the money put in this. They're the ones that are going to live and die by that decision. But don't ask me to like it. I don't have to like. I mean, like there's wrestlers I don't particularly like. Male and female, and if you like them, fine. It's just no big deal to me.
Yeah, you're right, Dave. Yeah. You're 1,000% right on that subject. I would agree with you on that. And I think that there's probably a pretty good majority of people out there that would agree with you on that. You said, there's the problem has become that the fraction of a percent that don't think the way we do have more time and more energy to be willing to argue and fight over it, whereas you and I are like, look, I said my piece. I'm moving on with my life. Yeah. I'm not going to dwell on it.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. So, yeah, and with the rest with the AEW, I think they're doing a fine job building young talent. Hangman Adam Page. Did you know much about him when he came into AEW?
Not a lot. I mean, I know the name. I knew, you know, I didn't know a lot, though.
Well, he wrestled Chris Jericho for the championship, and then Jericho won it. Got the little bit of a bubbly through that, and now I don't know exactly where they're leading to, but it's either going to be with the Dark Order that Paige is going to go to, or he's going to just go off on his own as a heel. That's once again it's storyline. I'm interested in seeing how they're going to write this upcoming segment of All Elite. I enjoy the Inner Circle. I mean, with what they're going on there with Chris Jericho leading it, the John Moxley storyline where they stabbed him in the eye with a spike the other night, and now he's going to be wrestling against Pac on this coming Wednesday night on a cruise ship, by the way. Chris Jericho cruise ship. They're doing their program from that cruise ship on Wednesday night on the 22nd. How innovative is that? I love it. It's part of the Bash at the Beach. And so Moxley, who's supposedly going to probably have a patch over one eye, and Pac, who is one of my favorites, you know, the former Neville in WWE, goes by Pac now. He is an incredible performer as a heel. Unreal. I mean, when he came on the screen the other day, I was so happy. I watched his entire match. Didn't fast forward to it, you know, never even turned away because I enjoyed his match and just enjoyed the heck out of it. Now, he's going to be going against John Moxley, and there was a segment on Wednesday night where Moxley was attacked by the Inner Circle, beaten up, and stabbed in the eye with a spike, you know, and so Moxley says he's going to be there no matter what. If he can't see, he's still going to fight. So that's good.
Yeah, that's great, dude.
Hold on just
that's
a second,
great.
Okay, because we got a call here. Okay, who have I got with me?
Well, I'm here.
Who Zane? Is this?
It's Chris on the match. Match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris.
On the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers. I just got through watching a whole bunch of bandwagon Titans fans lose their lunch.
What do you mean? I happen to be a Titans fan.
Well, then you better lose your lunch.
No, just kidding. I don't watch sports, dude. I watch sports.
No, you don't watch sports. You just get petitions signed to get everything done for politics.
Yes. You know me, Chris. You know me.
Oh, yes. Well, that's a good thing, though. We need more politicians just like you, sir.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Chris. You know, yes, if guys like you and I were running the world, it would be a whole totally different place, wouldn't it?
As you're talking about Tennessee Titan fans losing their mind, because they lost to Kansas City. Today, for my lunch, I was supporting the Tennessee Titans because I am from Tennessee, so I had Tennessee Pride breakfast sausage today.
Oh, good stuff, the good stuff. Oh, the good stuff.
But, Chris, did you lose your mind last night? When Duke lost?
It happens. What can you do? I was downing about 3 beers, and I just about upchucked after it was over with. Oh, what can you say? I mean, come on. Yeah. It's all right.
What was Duke playing for?
Look, I'm not worried about the regular season. I'm ready for March Madness. When March Madness rolls around, that's when you start becoming a real good fan. That's when the tournament starts. So.
Oh, so is that when I need to become a Duke fan?
Although your Utah guys are not going to be in March Madness, I mean, come on now.
Well,
what?
Wasn't Michael Jordan, wasn't it the Michael Jordan that played for Duke?
Michael Jordan played for North Carolina.
I know, I'm just kidding.
don't start with me with that. Don't start with me.
I'm going to be like George.
It's going to be a conspiracy theory. I'm not going to push off and hit a three-pointer to say goodbye. Go ahead.
Well, we all know that Michael Jordan cheated. And that's
whatever.
Okay.
Get over it. How long has it been? Get over it.
Well, Chris, we've been having a discussion about All Elite, but before we talk more about All Elite, I think it'd probably behoove us right now to introduce you, Chris Evans, Chris on the Mat, joining us from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We also talked a little bit about Vince Russo, and I told Zane the same story I told you about Vince Russo and how, as I'm going into hearing stories about Vince from Jim Cornette and Tom Pritchard, and then hearing what Vince Russo has to say, my opinion of Russo is improving, but what about, and remember, this is a family podcast. What about you, Chris Evans?
Do you have an hour? Do you have a lifetime? Okay, let me talk. I will talk about Vince Russo, the Antichrist of professional wrestling. This man needs to be boiled in oil and his fat sold for soap. Anytime this man can go to any company and suck it down for whatever it's worth and get a job, he ain't worth it. Now, I know people like him. Some people like to have peanut butter and mayo sandwiches, okay? Some people like to marry their cousin. I just don't like Vince Russo.
And that's okay. What I told Zane was that I was listening to a Vince Russo podcast, which was available on YouTube, and he addressed some of the situations from Tom Pritchard. And he says Tom and he were, at least at that point, were pretty good friends. But some of the things that Tom Pritchard has said that Vince Russo has said that he did and he took credit for, Vince has a very good argument saying, no, he never took credit for that particular situation. So I say to you, Chris, your homework assignment from Dr. Dave, the doctor of professional wrestling, is to watch that Vince Russo YouTube interview, at least some of it, and see if your mind changes at all. So,
sure, I'll gladly take the prescription with a grain of salt and gladly watch it and see everything that I can.
Okay.
Just don't wash the prescription down with alcohol, Chris. That just causes problems.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. How am I going to get through the prescription? If I got to see that sphincter of a face and listen to that voice. So, okay.
Oh, it sounds like my buddy Jackson's there.
Yeah, he's been sick all week.
Oh, that's too bad. So,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, guys, now we've got all three of us here. Let's talk a little bit about some of the performers who passed away recently. And we'll start off with the AAA star. Zane, you're going to have to help me here. Was it La Parca or L.A. Park?
It was La Parca.
Okay. Not the performer that was on WCW.
Yeah, so we, a couple of years ago, Dave and myself saw L.A. Park in Salt Lake City.
Right.
And L.A. Park is different than La Parca. And I don't know all that stuff. Yeah. I don't know the behind the scenes on that.
Right. Don't know why there were two performers with such similar names, but La Parca was the one that everyone was mistaken that he was the performer who passed away. But L.A. Park was the one that dove out of the ring and broke his neck, and his body just finally gave out. And I just feel horrible that someone died because of something that happened in the ring. But it's a dangerous profession, guys, and you got to admit that.
Oh, yeah. You know, all the people who say that it's fake and stuff, this just goes to show you that it's not. It's not fake.
No, not at all.
You know, this guy, you know, one wrong move, and look what happened to La Parca.
Yes. Chris,
and not only that, Dave, we've lost some other legends, and we've lost them young.
Yes, that always happens. Another performer that performed in the NWA and also in, I think, WCW was Kendo Nagasaki. There were actually two performers that performed with that name, but one was of Oriental descent. This Kendo Nagasaki died in 71. Then today we had Iron Mike Sharp, former NWA. Mm-hmm. I think he made it to the WWE, didn't he? Iron Mike Sharp.
Yeah, he made it to the WWE. Yes, he did.
Yeah, I loved watching Iron Mike Sharp in the ring. I don't know how much you guys remember him. Just a big, burly, strong man with a deep, deep voice, and just I thought he had a great look as a professional tough guy.
Wasn't he in Memphis?
Yeah, he performed in Memphis for a while. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I think he was I think he was a Canadian performer. Moved to Memphis. You know, they moved around a lot during those days. He passed away actually today. I think he was in his middle 60s. And then the one that everyone is talking about, the Rock's dad, Dwayne the Rock Johnson's dad, Rocky Johnson, passed away this past Wednesday. and All Elite and NXT and all the people at WWE, I think everyone in the world that knows professional wrestling also knows about Rocky Johnson. And guys, your thoughts on Rocky Johnson, Soul Burners with Tony Atlas and more?
Well, no, when I think of that name, I think of the lineage of the, you know, what has come from the success of that family.
Right, unreal, isn't it?
You know, you think about, I mean, and not just directly underneath him, not just his son, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but, right. You know, you're talking about the Usos, you're talking about Roman Reigns, you know, Sepa Fatu, who's doing amazing on the independent circuit right now.
Yeah, the Wild Samoans were part of that family, yeah, too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so many people that are in that lineage that have been so successful.
Yeah, all stems from the high priest Maivia, that married Rocky Johnson. The daughter married Rocky Johnson, and that's where Dwayne came from. And then in the Samoan culture, you know, they were all related somehow. And what an incredible family! What an incredible gift! And our hearts go out to all the fans of professional wrestling. If you guys will let me just do one little story here about Rocky Johnson, okay? I want to say it was 1976, the summer of 76, 77, maybe 75, 76. I was working for a little convenience store in Memphis, Tennessee, trying to make a little money. And when it was slow, I would go over to the magazine racks and I would pull out the wrestling mags. And I would read those wrestling mags for free. I remember reading about Rocky Johnson and how he was a sparring partner with George Foreman in boxing.
He would
wrestle on the weekends, but he also sparred with George Foreman. Now, you guys are younger than me. I know that. So here we go. Here's the lineage here. About that same time, there were a lot of promotions doing boxer against wrestler. Remember Muhammad Ali and Inoki in Japan. It was about this same time. In Memphis, Jerry the King Lawler was a heel at the time, and he kept on talking about boxers right and left. And then they got the brilliant idea to bring in Rocky Johnson, the sparring partner for the heavyweight champion of the world, George Foreman. Well, because I had been reading these wrestling magazines, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and whatever I could get my hands on when I wasn't really busy at work, I knew that Rocky Johnson was also a professional wrestler. So when he came to town, I had Monday nights off, and so did my best friend, Wayne Bailey. So I said, Wayne, we've got to go see this boxer versus wrestler match, which we did. And, of course, you know, Jerry the King, he was be able to wrestle, and they had the gloves on Rocky Johnson, so the King won. But they cut off the gloves, and Rocky Johnson beat down on the King. So it led to one thing after another, and it led to a Southern Heavyweight Championship match at the Mid-South Coliseum. Rocky Johnson for the Southern Heavyweight title, and I believe it was against the King, Jerry the King Lawler, at the Mid-South Coliseum. I was there with my best friend, Wayne Bailey, watching that match when Rocky Johnson make a historic win, becoming the first African-American to hold the Southern Heavyweight title. And I remember that like it was yesterday, and I was such a Rocky Johnson fan. Every time I got to see him on TV, I thought it was an absolutely incredible moment to be able to say I was at that event. I even told Ron Simmons that, and he would say, you were actually there? And I said, yes, sir. And he shook my hand and says, you saw history that night. So there's my one little bitty connection to Rocky Johnson. And I think if they look in history, I think The Rock was there when he was in Memphis. The Rock was a part of that. As a child. So that's my story about Rocky Johnson. I wanted to share that with people because I thought it was just...
Everything comes back to Memphis. Everything comes back to Memphis, I tell you what.
It was a hotbed at the time. It really was a hotbed of wrestling.
Everything bounces off to Memphis every time.
Yes, it
so
does.
So it's amazing.
You know, it's a sad fact that we lose them young, and we get a lot of bad publicity because when these younger wrestlers do pass away, everybody talks about their lifestyle. But here we are. We get 71-year-old Kendo Nakasaki, mid-60s, Iron Mike Sharp, and in his 70s, Rocky Johnson. So a lot of it is just what happens. It happens in life. People die early. People die late in their life. So I really get upset when people get all about the wrestling lifestyle. So
that's true. Yeah. That is true.
Yeah.
Next,
well, I'll tell you one thing is, Chris, I've been a little bit busy, man. I've been out of this. I've been out of what's going on, dude. I need you to fill me in.
You and me both. I mean, you and me both. I haven't really kept up that much NWA power. I've put it off to the side for a little bit because I see ROH and the NWA working together.
And you have a problem with that?
No, I don't. I love it.
Okay.
No, I'm loving it. I'm just trying to figure out if I'm right or if I'm wrong. Because it looks like to me the NWA and Ring of Honor, it has Billy Corgan decided, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and buy Ring of Honor?
You know, it could happen. Hmm. Who knows? Who knows? But by working together, you've got the villain, Marty Scurll, who appeared at the last NWA pay-per-view. Everyone was going all crazy saying, well, Marty Scurll, he's going to be now part of the NWA. No, he re-signed with ROH. So they're doing a cross-promotion.
That was so strange after he had made all this big to-do, and then he shows up in the NWA, and then not even 3 weeks later, he re-signs with Ring of Honor.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And at the last ROH pay-per-view, who shows up?
Nick Aldis.
Yeah, and they're going to be Marty Scurll. Not Marty Scurll. I'm trying to remember now. But there's going to be an ROH performer that's coming in to the NWA event coming up later this month on the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And
I then
love it.
And then you got Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, coming in to the NWA, which – I wasn't really a big fan of Scott Steiner. Don't really care for him now. I was like, okay, so is Impact doing it too? I mean, could Impact be doing this?
I wouldn't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem. Go ahead.
You know what? I think it's a good thing because it shows you that the NWA still is. Because, you know, Impact used to be affiliated with the NWA before they...
Oh, yes, they were.
Yeah.
You know, they and so maybe this is just everybody saying, hey, you know, maybe the NWA is totally legit, and we need to show everybody that.
Right. And, Zane, you'll be happy to know, you probably haven't seen it yet, but the last 2 weeks there's been stars from NWA Power on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, including... The Question Mark, who took
on... Oh, my gosh. The most popular wrestler in all the professional wrestling now is The Question.
And he took on Gentleman Jervis.
Yeah.
Thousand, 3,000 butterflies.
Yeah.
Hey, don't you mock it, Chris.
I'm not mocking it. You see, here's the thing, guys. I'm going to get on a step stool here or a bar stool, and I'm going to say something about one wrestler that did something that just...
Here it comes.
Uh-huh.
I told Zane that we were going to wait until you came in to talk about this very subject. Chris, take it away. Remember, we're a family podcast.
Okay. I'm going to burn a professional wrestler, ladies and gentlemen. Please give me time. Colt Cabana, you are the most disgusting human being I've ever met in my whole life. I hope your lips rot off. I hope that whatever you get gangrene from what you did. Why in the name of the Almighty would you get on your knees and kiss the genitalia of one, what is that dude, that pubic hair's name?
Joey Ryan.
Oh, Joey Ryan. Why would you do that in front of a bunch of kids and parents and adults, and then fan yourself like this was the greatest thing since you ever kissed in your life. I have something you can kiss, sir. But I don't know if you can, your lips could reach that far.
Mm-hmm.
You two can tell me, was it disgusting or not? I will never be a Colt Cabana fan ever again. If he never wins another title, and I hope his career goes down the toilet faster than a Taco Bell burrito with extra guacamole sauce.
Wow.
So, go ahead.
Chris, I don't know what's going on, so.
It was disgusting.
Chris needs to take a breath.
Yeah.
He needs to take a shot. Calm down.
Get some of that moonshine.
I'm going to go take my blood pressure.
Go get some moonshine. Yeah, take care of that. There was an event that Colt Cabana was promoting an event. I can't remember what name of it was. And it was more of an adult event. Ian Cabani actually got involved with it. He's the announcer from ROH, did a top rope splash. And you can see that on YouTube. But in this match with Joey Ryan, at the end of the match, there's Colt Cabana with Joey Ryan doing his pose in the corner on the turnbuckles. And Colt gets down and puckers up his lips, and through the trunk, on top of the trunks, he kisses Joey Ryan's private parts. Very controversial. Chris didn't like it at all. I'm not a fan of it, and I'll tell you why I am not a fan of it, okay? What would happen if Colt Cabana had done the same thing to a woman? Can you imagine, I mean, the furor that would have happened, and it's no different to me. And being in front of women and children, that especially the children, I don't like that aspect of it. But if they're going to have that in professional wrestling, they got to think about whether they could do the same thing to a female. And I do think that if they did that to a woman, that there would be a furor and that wrestler would be fired right away. So Colt Cabana, whether you did it as a last-minute thing or whether you had planned it, it was an extremely poor taste. And that's my take of it, because I'm saying, you know, is it, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, you know? If a man did that to a woman or a woman did that to a woman, that it would be in poor taste. And it was in poor taste, whether or not you agree with it or not, it was just in poor taste.
It was.
Well, you know, and I know that there was a time in the WWE that I quit watching because of, you know, the whole Chuck and Larry thing, and I wasn't a real big fan of that.
Right.
And, you know, I know Joey Ryan's thing is controversial. I like to give Chris some stress about it, but there is a time when you can take that controversy a little too far, and it sounds like that was done this time.
Yeah. So I haven't heard hardly anything else about it. I know Chris, you were just slightly upset about it, were you not?
Well, it's just the way that when it was put on this, and Colt acted like it was the greatest thing that he's ever done instead of winning the NWA. You know, the NWA Championship, he thought this was the greatest thing he's ever done in his life. I'm sorry. I was raised, I'm a country boy, and you just don't do this stuff. I mean, not in front of people. I mean, come on. What does that have to do with wrestling? What does this have to do with wrestling? I'm not a fan, and I never will be.
Yeah.
So, and if that means I'm not cool about it, then you know what? I'm not going to lose any sleep. That's fine.
Yeah.
So, I can't stand it no more.
Mm-hmm. And Zane?
So,
I agree with you guys. I think Joey Ryan's stuff is funny and it has its place. But like I said, there is a time when sometimes that goes a little too far. And it sounds like this did go a little too far. And it doesn't seem like, you know, we've talked about controversy to advance storylines, and if there's no apparent advance to a storyline, then I guess then maybe there's a reason why it just died flat on its face, because nobody really thought it was that great.
Mm-hmm. So let's get off that subject. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah.
Now, I'd like to bring up something that made me very happy on Monday Night Raw this past week on the 13th. Monday Night Raw, 3 hours is too long, but for the first time, I would say in years, the third hour of Monday Night Raw was the best hour of Monday Night Raw. It was incredibly well done. Oh, Alistair, if you haven't seen it, go find it. They've had a great series of matches between those two.
So it was Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black?
Buddy Murphy, Aleister Black, the last several weeks have had, I think the last 3 weeks, have had matches.
Well, they wrestled at the last pay-per-view, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. And they continued on Monday Night Raw. Now, they move it on, and Aleister Black wins. Buddy Murphy, in a great match, by the way, Buddy Murphy is sitting at ringside, just sitting, like he's all upset that he lost because he thought he could beat Aleister Black. And I'm telling you, match of the year so far, these past three, incredible stuff. Some of the best matches I've seen in a long time, singles matches. So he's sitting there, just sitting there, ringside, pouting. And they come out with the fist fight. Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe. And who is the other one?
I'm trying to remember. Show.
And the Big Show, taking on Seth Rollins and the APO, the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins. And there was a point where the Big Show and KO and Samoa Joe got the upper hand. Seth Rollins gets kicked out of the ring, and he lands near Buddy Murphy and looks at him and says, "Help me, help us, help us, help us." And eventually he did. What a great way to push Buddy Murphy up into the upper echelon of a competition. And to push Aleister Black in that upper echelon, too. Incredible storytelling. I loved every minute of that third hour. It was great.
Well, that's one thing I've thought about is, how do you use a guy like Aleister Black, the way his character is? You know, Chris, I think, was it you that's talked about Aleister Black could have the potential to be the next Undertaker?
He looks like, the way that he does his moves and the way that he sits in the middle of the ring and he's got this look in his face, I mean, he could be like the next Undertaker.
What do you do with a guy like that? You know, is this a good move for them? You know, to use somebody like that, or would you rather see him more of a dominant self role, you know, or a by himself type role,
Aleister Black is being pushed as one of those anti-heroes.
Uh-huh.
When they talk about him, they talk about him being, some people think he's good, some people think he's evil, kind of like the Undertaker. You know,
uh-huh.
That's the way he's being pushed right now. And then these matches with Buddy Murphy, and now Buddy Murphy joining with the Monday Night Messiah and APO, I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm looking forward to it, guys, because the APO is really good. Buddy Murphy's really good. Aleister Black's really good. They're going to be going. This is the anti-Bobby Lashley-Lana marriage storyline. I'll tell you that.
That's true.
It's that good. It is really, really good.
Is that still going on?
Yes. They're actually on Monday Night Raw. They're going to have a mixed tag match with Lana, Bobby Lashley, who are officially married, storyline, against Rusev,
and this other girl. That,
yeah, the returning Liv Morgan. Morgan.
Liv Morgan.
She's been gone for a while. They've reinvented her. So they're going to have a mixed tag match on Monday Night Raw. So it's still going. They'll probably set up something for the Royal Rumble with that too. So that's
boring.
What I haven't liked. And a lot of people haven't liked it. Vince likes it. Vince loves it. And you know, Vince pays the paycheck. So
Vince still likes playing with Mr. Potato Head. So I mean, come on.
And by the way, Vince was not convinced about Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy until he saw them in the ring, and we'll give credit to what I understand. Paul Heyman was the one that says, let these guys wrestle, and you can see that for yourself how good they are. as you know, they have great chemistry in the ring. These two should be fighting for some sort of championship soon. Honestly, that good, that good.
So, where's your favorite performer right now, Dave? Old
Well, he is still the champion, is he not?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still the champion. And he has appeared the last couple of weeks on Raw, and he's going to be in the Royal Rumble. He has, you know, because the Royal Rumble is whoever wins the Royal Rumble will wrestle at WrestleMania in the headline a match in the main event for the title. That's the way the Royal Rumble set up. But decent storyline for Mr. Boring in the Bank is that now he is going to enter the Royal Rumble himself as the champion at the number one position. He'll be the first one in the ring. He says he will win the Royal Rumble, and then he will not have to be at WrestleMania. That's I don't mind it. Finally, he's going to be doing more than two moves, you know? And that's been my whole thing with Brock Lesnar the whole time, is I think he's been underutilized as far as his skill set. And I just don't like him doing two to three moves, and that's it.
I hope John Cena comes back and beats him.
I would love it.
I would very, 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 very well welcome that. If John Cena came in at the last spot and won the Royal Rumble, and then, you know, went on to WrestleMania, won his last title, beat Ric Flair's number, or matched it. Would he be matching it, or would he beat it?
He would match it, I think.
He would match it. Do you think will they let him beat it, or will they just let him match it?
Now comes another really good storyline, and you'll appreciate this because it involves R-Truth. R-Truth comes, it was so funny. Truth comes to the ring. You know, he plays this really goofy character. He's saying he's going to get into the Royal Rumble, and he's going to win it, and he's going right after the man himself, Paul Heyman, because Paul Heyman's doing most of the talk. And then they say, Paul says, I'm not in the Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar is. And you see Truth start back. I was just kidding. He was just doing all this stuff. And then Brock destroys him, and I enjoyed the next part. As he's being taken out of the ring, 24/7 title defended with Mojo Riley coming in and pinning R-Truth, and now he's the 24/7 champion. He says that he's changing up the belt a little bit, and he's going to defend it better than R-Truth. How long that storyline will last, I like it.
24 hours.
Yeah, 24. The 24/7, 48. How does he do that? The 24/7, 48-hour, 7-Eleven European TV title. I think that's how. I don't know if that's the official one. But he's been so much fun with this 24/7 title. So this might be a way for them to get the 24/7 title and make it, you know, instead of a comedy act, get it a little bit more serious. I don't know. I'm interested in seeing how they do it.
Maybe a little more hardcore.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Never know. You never know.
Yeah. Can I add one more thing here about the Royal Rumble?
Well, yeah.
I think I texted both of you guys or sent messages to you. On Friday Night SmackDown, they did something that I'm going, finally. And I think Chris and I discussed this on the last pot of the year before our best of. We discussed, where are the stipulation matches? Where are the, you know, we talked about last year with Extreme Rules. Was Extreme Rules only three matches, Extreme Rules? Well, coming up at the Royal Rumble for the WWE title, one, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, will be put into a strap match with Daniel Bryan. They're going to have a good old-fashioned strap match. Hallelujah!
So, I watched our good friend of the podcast, been on with us before, from Down Under, that wrestling guy.
Oh, that wrestling guy?
He says that, he says, when was the last time a strap match was any bloody good? A strap match? You WWE, you can't find anything better than a strap match?
Hey. And
if he ever listens to the podcast, he's probably going to be like, I don't sound like that, you idiot.
And he would be right. I like it, though. I would like to see them do more those stipulation matches, a strap match, maybe do the four-corner strap match, the Texas Tornado four-corner strap match, whatever you can come up with. They always do the, hey, let's go into Salt Lake City, so we're going to have a Salt Lake City street fight. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to have a strap match at the Royal Rumble, and also they're going to have a Falls Count Anywhere match in Houston, the home of the Cheaters. I mean, the Astros, they're going to be, stealing signs right and left next Sunday. So it's going to be a Falls Count Anywhere match with the constipated Baron Corbin, the king, going against Roman Reigns. So another stipulation. So they do stipulations outside of the Extreme Rules match. When they come up to Extreme Rules pay-per-view, they probably have about two matches with Extreme Rules. So I like it. And the Down Under guy, hey, you know, I got to disagree with you here. So, and can we add what the tragedy that's going on in Australia right now with all the fires?
Oh.
Millions, up to billions of animals have been destroyed. Millions of acres of land. I imagine the smoke is just choking over there. So our best wishes to our fans and everyone.
And now they're flooding.
Yeah, now there's flooding, and that will happen.
Now
too.
There's flooding. So. Yeah,
you see that every year out west when we have wildfires out here in the mountains, and then it gets a big scar, and then when the snowpack comes in or heavy rains, we get massive flooding. It's you know, Mother Nature, you know, as the butter commercial says, you can't fool Mother Nature. So
that's
true too.
Yeah. So Chris, I was talking with Dane earlier, and I didn't know if you knew that AEW is coming to Salt Lake, and Raw is coming to Salt Lake.
Yeah.
So me and Dave are making plans to go to AEW. So.
Oh, you are.
Yeah. So we're. Whoops. Oh, so I just wanted to tell you that we're officially better.
Well. Look, after the AEW little thing and Jon Moxley grabs the bottle of the bubbly and hits Jericho with it and then goes to grab another one and the bottle breaks in his hand.
That was great.
Come on, guys. Make another bottle out of sugar. That was just...
It was fantastic. I loved it. I laughed.
Yeah, well, AEW's fine. DDP, please retire. The match was okay with you. I didn't have any problem with it. But DDP, it's, you know, your time is over.
Whoa, no way.
Yes.
No freaking way.
Yes.
Dude.
What did I do?
DDP is the man. It's me. It's DDP.
You know, it's time to, you know, push these other wrestlers instead of having the old fogies in their you know, the wheelchairs and yeah.
Hey, Chris.
This goes back exactly to what we were talking about before Chris was on the program, huh, Dave?
Yes, it does.
What's that?
Chris, aren't you a fan of the Rock and Roll Express being the NWA champs? Huh?
More like the Rock and Old Express.
Well, here's the thing with the Rock and Roll Express. I mean, the Rock and Roll Express have had a career that has expanded, and they built the NWA, and DDP has been everywhere from WCCW to WCW to the
AWA.
AWA. He's been everywhere, and this man has had a heck of a career. But it's time for the new people to start, you know, getting these new guys. And yeah, it's kind of bad when the NWA put titles on a team that is supposed to be the Rock and Roll Express, and one of them looks like they don't have hardly any hair anymore. I think it's Robert Gibson. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's Robert. Because Robert, and that eye of Robert.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's trying to look around a corner with it, or, I mean, can he even see a punch coming? So, I mean, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
Wasn't it impressive when DDP got on the top rope and did a dive to the outside? This is a 63-year-old man.
Yeah.
I couldn't
and he's
do
in
it.
Great, he's in great condition. Great condition.
That's DDP yoga for you. The guy's probably limber than a rubber band, dude.
I don't really have a problem with DDP.
He could probably bend over Dave and touch his toes.
Yes, he probably could. That's a long distance. I got a circumference going on here, guys. I got circumference.
Well, I hope you two are able to go to AEW and see all the millions and millions of NXT, fans.
Whoa, Dave!
Man.
I'm almost offended.
What?
Wow.
Man. No. I know there's going to be a lot of the performers from Devotion that have already said they've got their tickets. So I think that's going to be fun.
I'll bet you AEW will outdo Raw in Salt Lake.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm sure they will.
Because the people out west are just clamoring for something new, so I'll bet you we'll get people from Boise and people from all over Vegas. I'll bet you people from Vegas will come to Salt Lake. I'll bet you there'll be a lot of people there.
I'm hopeful. I'm really looking forward to it myself. And by the way, if Diamond Dallas Page is there, might they bring in one of his diamond dolls, Miss Kimberly? I know they're divorced, but Kimberly lives in Park City, Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would love that because I thought she was hot. That's a good woman. Yes.
I'm hoping AEW does well in Utah. I hope they do outdo the WWE. But like I said, time will tell. There's all these pictures that are coming out that, if they turn the cameras the wrong way or something like the right way, you can see that there's nothing but empty seats. I don't care. As long as y'all enjoy it, that's great.
Enjoy the rest. That's a good attitude. That's a great attitude.
Okay.
Enjoy the rest. Go ahead.
Now, I'm just going to say this right now. I'm also tired of every week everyone trying to analyze the ratings from the, quote, Wednesday Night Wars. Who cares?
Yes.
If you watch WCW or you watch NXT or you watch AEW or you watch both like I do, it doesn't matter. What matters is if they keep on the air after a while. And this week it was announced, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but TNT has already renewed for a new season in 2021 for All Elite Wrestling and adding another show on TNT.
That's awesome.
So are they selling out an arena? Who cares? Are they making money when they go to an arena? Probably so. Merchandise sales, ticket sales, getting people interested in their product. Sometimes it could be a lost leader. That's a marketing term. But if they, it's not going to be like Impact Wrestling several years ago. I think it was still TNT. When they went to Nebraska and they put on an event in Nebraska, a major company, wrestling company, had only 250 people show up. That is not going to happen to All Elite Wrestling.
No, because All Elite's done, All Elite's, the minds behind that are obviously a lot. The thing that's different between All Elite and TNA was, the minds behind TNA were event organizers. Uh-huh. Dixie Carter was... She was promoting concerts for Garth Brooks before she got into wrestling. But the difference is the people behind All Elite are...
There's
wrestling minds behind All Elite, not just promoter minds behind All Elite.
Yeah.
And so the guys at All Elite, they've been to arenas in Salt Lake. They've been to arenas in Nebraska. They've been to arenas all over the country. And they'll be able to tell you which place would be a better than another place. All Elite is probably safer at the E Center than it is at the Delta Center. They probably couldn't fill 10,000 seats right. at the Delta Center, but 4 or 5 at the E Center is a pretty doggone full arena at the
right.
E Center,
right.
and it would look excellent on TV. I mean, I went to several. I went to Nitro and a Thunder at the E Center, and that sucker was jam packed, and it blew the roof off that place. Bill Goldberg's first televised match, Horace Hogan, was in Salt Lake City, and I was there.
Yes, you were.
Well, that's a good thing.
And I'll bet you it'll be the same. You know.
And if you watch ROH, okay, and ROH television has slipped quite a bit. It's not near as good as it used to be, but with all these new talent they're signing, and they still got some of their old talent there, hopefully they'll get that ship turned around with the NWA and maybe some cross-promotion with other promotions, which I hope they really do, because I enjoy a lot of the wrestlers on ROH. But if they came to Salt Lake City, they would have to go to some place like where Zane and I went to an arena downtown that was off the main street when we went to see Rey Mysterio. Remember that? The complex. What, it hold about 1,000 people, maybe a little bit more?
Yeah,
that place was sold out for that. That would still look good on TV.
Oh, so, yeah, dude. Yeah. You know, it really would. You know, it would. I mean, you look at if an NWA type promotion or event came to something like that, would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I was saying I wish that we could get even just smaller promotions like, you know, if FSW came to Salt Lake, or if, you know, if a couple guys from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, or, you know, joined DCW, and DCW could fill up the complex. I mean, how cool would that be?
It'd be awesome. So, and by the way, when I was watching Championship Wrestling from Hollywood today, I saw a performer that you had seen in Salt Lake City. I think you called him Shaggy McLovin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood today. So there's still a lot of possibilities out there for professional wrestling. I'm just hopeful that things will stay, you know, at this level for a while, so people can realize and get to that point where they say, oh, this is entertainment. It's not like paying out all that money and going to see the UFC fight in Las Vegas for 40 seconds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, our friend the MK Bandit was at that fight, and I don't think he was happy with the outcome of that. So I would just love to see that happen. I would love to see someone like Devotion maybe bring a wrestling event to Cache Valley. Will it happen?
Oh, yeah.
It might happen. I've actually talked to a guy who's a promoter that is interested in possibly doing that. And I don't know where this is at. I just talked to him. He says, yeah, I'd like to talk to him about possibly doing something up here. I talked to Manny once I was down, and he said, yeah, they might try a show in Cedar City or someplace like that. It would be great. Get out to the people and let them see what, and Devotion does a great job, and so does UCW Zero in Salt Lake City. They're a lot of fun to go to.
Yeah, I would go to a Cedar match. Cedar's probably closer than Logan for me.
Right, it is. Oh, it is.
And it's every bit as, and Cedar's probably just a touch farther than Salt Lake, but I don't have to navigate all that fetching I-15 Utah County Lehigh traffic that makes me want to freak out on somebody every time I drive through there.
Do you have road rage?
Oh, I told my wife last time we were in Logan, and the thing is, Logan's small compared to probably somewhere like you live, Chris. And I says, we can't come back. My wife says, she says, what do you mean? I says, we can't come back. I says, I'll be in jail. And she says, well, why would you be in jail? I says, because I'll run somebody off the road, and I'll be in jail for the road rage. I can't deal with the people.
Well, Main Street of Logan, Utah, and Logan, Utah, the valley itself is slightly over 100,000 people. But Main Street of Logan, Utah is one of the busiest roads in the entire state of Utah. That includes State Street in Salt Lake City and Riverdale in Ogden. One of, if not the busiest road in the entire state of Utah. It's that kind of traffic sometimes. It's unreal.
It is. It is. Oh, I can't do it, Dave. I can't do it. I don't. Oh, goes Fraba.
And by the way, guys, I think we are to make a pact right here that if WrestleMania weekend, they announce next week or next year, 2021, WrestleMania in Las Vegas.
On there.
We're starting our savings account that day.
Oh, yeah.
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 I'm there.
Oh, it's. Oh yeah, absolutely. I will be there, and Chris, I don't even care if I.
Well, I would gladly do it in a heartbeat. I've got a hotel room that I don't even have to pay for. Uncle Randall,
yeah, Uncle Randall, Randall and Laurel,
and Laurel, Uncle Randall, yeah. Here you come.
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be really awesome to get a hold of and go to Las Vegas to go see one WrestleMania, and just that would be the lifetime a checklist right off.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Bucket list. Yep.
Bucket list.
Well, guys, are you ready for the Royal Rumble a week from when we're recording this?
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be nice. It's gonna be nice.
I've got to get caught up on some stuff, dude. Yeah, you know, me and the old laptop need to have a date with not that kind of date, guys. What's on your mind?
Hey,
no, hey. The doors aren't gonna be closed. The lights aren't gonna be off.
Joey Ryan could be around.
That did sound really, really bad. Goodness gracious! But I'll just shift gears and say that I'll be spending some time watching some professional wrestling. How's that?
Yes.
Getting caught up this week because guess what? I don't have to volunteer this week at night.
Oh, awesome, Chris. How about you?
Well, we need to wish congratulations to the new Impact World Champion.
Oh, Here we go.
Tessa Blanchard, which I called that one the wrong way. I really figured Impact would have, after all the controversy and all the BS that went down, I really figured that they wouldn't have the match. But congratulations, Tessa Blanchard. You have become a champion that no one cares about. So, congratulations to Tessa Blanchard.
Why does everybody hate her so much?
Because she used a word. Supposedly.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
So? Now, she supposedly, there was some other lady wrestlers who accused her of being a bully backstage, and also using that word that we should not say because it hurts a lot of feelings. And I agree. I mean, I've said that word in the past. I don't say it anymore because I realize how hurtful it is to people. So I don't say it anymore, and I've worked really hard at doing that. I wanted to get that up front. But she was accused of that. Now, there are several African-American performers who are supporting Tesla. Moose is one. Moose says Tesla is a wonderful person, and he's never heard her bully or say that word. But if she
How old are these people?
Agreed.
I mean, good crime. If you're six and there's a 12-year-old on the playground, I could imagine being bullying. But if you're in your mid-20s and you're letting some lady in the locker room talk down to you, that's your own fault.
That's when you stand up and slap
her in the mouth.
That's exactly right.
I really think what it is that there's some rumblings in the locker room between the females. Because Tessa was getting such a big push, and the rest of them are not. So,
what a way to game then.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, congratulations to them. And Manny, I just saw here on Facebook, Manny Smith, go eat your donut and cry about the Titans. I'm so sorry, sir.
Wow.
He's upset he's a big Titan fan. Come on. And your uncle Kevin is a huge Titan fan.
Yes, but my Uncle Kevin also had a chef's hat on and a robe and said he was watching the game. Come on.
Well, Manny was with his friends, including the brother Smith, at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Salt Lake City watching the game while I was eating Tennessee Pride pork sausage watching the game.
Well, I tell you what, congratulations to the Tennessee Titans for making it again to the AFC Championship, and all the Bucket fans and everyone that jumped on the bandwagon, your dreams fell again.
Dude, you know,
I was looking for number 7 of the ring for the Patriots. So, darn.
My father-in-law's a huge Kansas City fan, so he's probably happy.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet he is.
And I'm going to sing a little song once again. Duke lost last night. Duke lost last night. Duke lost last night. Duke lost last night. They haven't won a championship in several years. Duke. But
2015 was the last time they won an NCAA championship, and we can still do it again. But this year, guys, the NCAA. I don't know who's going to do it.
There you go.
Come on.
And I am a fan of the Blue Devils too, so I just wanted to rub it in a little bit. Duke.
You know what's nice about me is you can't rub anything into me because I don't really care. Yeah. I don't have a team.
I was going to introduce the three of us today, saying, you know, here's Dave Denton, the Tennessee Titan fan. Here's who's probably going to lose today, and here's Chris, who's the Duke Blue Devils lost last night, and here's Zane Peterson, who could really care less. So,
yeah. I don't know if you guys saw that Facebook post I shared the other day, and it's like, go sports team.
Go like, sports.
Yeah, I was like, that's me pretty much. I'm like,
yeah. But it's different strokes for different folks. If you find something entertaining, go for it. I saw.
Hey, you know what? I do. I enjoy a good football game. I went to support the local junior college this summer.
Oh, that's cool.
Football,
yeah.
Or this fall, or football game. There's a basketball game this weekend that I'm going to go support the local junior college and go see.
And
I enjoy
a
good sports game.
When I was the announcer at the stadium for Utah State Athletic for the football team, you went to several of those games when I was there.
I don't. As long as it's a good outing and a good game, I love to go see. I just don't really follow any team particularly.
Well, I mean, it all depends on what you like, and maybe this can hit one of our blooper reels like it did last year. I keep listening to that, guys. I can't help it. Every time I listen to that, I roll on the floor laughing.
I'm going to put the blooper reel just on Turnbuckle Trash just by itself, so if somebody doesn't know what we're talking about, just some of the weird things that we did last year. It'll be available on turnbuckletrash.net. And, guys, I can't wait next week in Houston, Texas. I want to see how many signs, and I want to see how many references are to stealing signs. I can just see wrestling fans saying, this guy stole my sign, you know, whatever, because of what's going on in Major League Baseball right now in Houston.
Well, that right there is a subject for another day. I'm not surprised with the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
But now I'm expecting them to knock away their championship.
I do too. Yeah.
You know what? What do you do? Go back and it's just like Lance Armstrong when they're like, "Oh, we took away his Tour de France." It's like, no, he pretty much still has it. Look on his wall; he has the medals. It's like, you know, you oh, we're gonna take away their championship. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to like flip through the almanac, and you're going to be like, oh, look at here. Here's the 2016 MLB champions. And why has 2017 been deleted?
It's called an asterisk.
That's weird.
Or making an asterisk of yourself, whatever. But now, you know. Yeah, they could put an asterisk down there, and I think that's eventually going to happen. Because Major League Baseball, and I'm a huge baseball fan, and it really upsets me that they did this. And I think the players should be punished, not just the management. Not just the managers. I think the players should be punished too. But that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. There's an ESPN show that said, I think it was like Stephen A. Smith said, I think that the it should be struck from the record books, and the players should give back the championship rings, all of them.
Ooh, ouch.
I think an asterisk is there. I think it could be. I mean, no, it's a real scandal. It gave them an unfair competitive advantage.
You know what else I think? I think the Chicago Bulls should give back theirs Was it 1994? Yeah. You know? Or, I'm sorry, 1996, wasn't it? 1997?
Yeah. Pushy, pushy Chevys.
Yeah, yeah. That was a controversy, too. We should go back and investigate that.
Yeah. I get news for you. If they went back and did that, it would probably make just feel bad for the Jazz because they went 2 times and they couldn't do it.
Oh, man. You know, and the thing is how much does that crap happen in every event? Who knows?
Yeah.
That's why I love professional wrestling, because that can't happen in professional wrestling. They're like, hey, there's a big controversy in professional wrestling. This outcome was predetermined.
So, yeah. Hey,
you're like, yeah.
Let me tell you a quick story. I'm doing therapy on my wrist and hand right now from the surgery I had back in September. And I'm in the therapy office, and there's a young lady who's trying to learn how to do physical therapy. So she's volunteering this little clinic. A nice young lady, and we're talking, and the subject somehow turns on to professional wrestling, which I try to talk pro wrestling as much as I can. She's 21 years old, and she did not realize that professional wrestling was predetermined. She was shocked. 21 years old.
Well, you know, I'll never forget the day that I figured out that it was predetermined.
Were you 4 years old?
I was about 14.
Uh-huh.
And I was pretty sad, dude. I was pretty sad. I was in, you know, when you talk about loser denial, I definitely had it.
Oh. Well, final words, you guys?
Yeah. Let's see. I can't wait for the Rumble. We'll see what's going on soon.
Yeah, can't wait for the Rumble. Can't wait to see what AEW and everybody else does. And I wish the person that was texting me right now would stop.
Yes.
I got one little thing to say, and this is a personal thing. I'm a little bit tired of trying to go through the hoops of professional wrestling, because I've sent off emails through their website telling where to get media credentials or media interviews to WWE and also to All Elite, and I have been ignored. And that...
And they will call their office.
Yeah, I'm getting close to calling the office and saying, guys, what do I need to do? I'm going through what your website says to do, jumping through the hoops, and I'm being ignored, and I don't appreciate it. I still love you, but I don't appreciate it.
Well, it's kind of like when ROH told us, oh, we don't like you guys. You're too small. Yeah. We're not going to help you.
Yeah.
We're not going to help you grow because you're too small.
And we're not going to help you grow either.
Yeah. Like, well, at what point, like, well, that wouldn't work, you know? You're like, oh, I'm sorry, you're not gonna help. It's like your business, you know? You're like, oh, I'm not gonna buy anything from you because you're not Walmart yet.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So, well, I appreciate you guys. I hope you have a good rest of your Sunday. And the Mac Daddy is signing off.
All right, I got to get ready for work here shortly. I'll talk to y'all guys later. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, we'll try to do it after the Rumble, okay, guys?
All right,
we'll do it after the Rumble.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Tell everybody who's been the slacker lately.
The slacker, I guess since he's not with us right now, Chris. No, no.
If I gotta see that stinker of a face.
Politics sucks, Dave. Let's just.
Yeah, I'm here. My Bluetooth went bye-bye. Sorry.
Doesn't matter what side you're on. Left, right, center, middle, up, down, green, blue. It just plain out sucks.
And I hope his career goes down the toilet faster than a Taco Bell burrito with extra guacamole sauce. I hope your lips rot off.
It's called an asterisk.
That's weird.
Or making an asterisk of yourself, whatever. But now, you know.
You think differently at 50 than you do at 35.
Some people like to have peanut butter and mayo sandwiches.
Duke lost last night. Duke lost last night. Duke. Duke lost last night. Duke lost last night. They haven't won a championship in several years. Duke.
I don't sound like that, you idiot.
Huh?
More like the Rockin' Old Express. He could probably bend over Dave and touch his toes.
Yes, he probably could. That's a long distance. I got a circumference going on here, guys. I got circumference.
That did sound really, really bad. Goodness gracious.
Maybe this can hit one of our blooper reels like it did last year.